Blog Talk Radio.
Got you again. Happy Tuesday to you all out there in the virtual space.
Yay! Happy Tuesday!
You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Boobs.
Are you calling us boobs?
Boobs! Sure, why not? Well, yeah, boobs. I'll call us boobs. We're boobs.
Okay. There's always some interesting discussions going on the groups on Facebook. Forget the comments. I told you guys I was a member of the Sim Watch list. If you play The Sims, you must join this list because you have conversations nobody else has. It started out with someone asking if you could have a vampire child, and I commented that I have a angry vampire baby ghost. Dead baby ghost is what I said. Dead ghost baby, whatever. I liked the way he sounds with cries, so then I got tips on how to kill him.
Interesting. In which we learn that Corey is cold-blooded murderer.
I haven't killed him. I just don't like the way he sounds when he cries. He wails like a ghost when he cries.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's... Ugh. And he's all red and flashy. He bothers my eyes to look at him. Ugh. I hate Sim ghost babies. They're vampires. Anyway, like you all wanted to know that. Like, where's my news?
Are they really here for news? Are y'all really here for news? I thought y'all were here for the boobs.
Well, they do come for the boobs, but they stay for the brains.
Stay for the brains. That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I do have stories. Let me get back over to the right one. Oh, my God, so much stuff going on. This is kind of interesting. This is a short one, so I may grab two.
Mm-hmm. Go.
You all know I love me some GamePolitics.com. NASDAQ threatens to be THC.
Oh, that is
juicy. Yes, that is exactly what you heard me going about earlier. All right, so the NASDAQ Stock Exchange has warned publisher THQ that it is in danger of being delisted. NASDAQ warned the publisher because it has failed to meet certain requirements for the exchange, such as keeping its stock trading at or above $1 for 30 executive days. The $1 trade price is a minimum requirement of the exchange, along with having a certain amount of capital on hand. The company has been given 180 days until July 23rd to address the issue and boost its share price. It must maintain a $1 plus level for 10 consecutive business days. The company has failed to trade above $1 since the beginning of December. If THQ fails to meet the aforementioned requirements in the time frame already detailed, it will be delisted. Though THQ will have the right to appeal the decision. Ouch. And they're the ones who were just laying off people, weren't they? And they're the ones who have been sued. And Corey is muted.
I am. I was going to say, I remember I told you they were polishing the brass on the Titanic.
Mm. Wow. Ouch. That's got to hurt. That's got to hurt. All right. I'm just going to get the second one out of the way just because I hate them.
Who?
I'm so hard. Angry Birds.
Oh, they're talking again. This one. I think I saw that.
Yeah, I'm just going to get it out there. They're trying to make me like them. I still hate y'all. Mm-hmm. Angry Birds maker, piracy isn't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. While some publishers and developers spend a lot of time railing against the evils of file sharing and piracy, Rovio is not one of those companies. They actually say that that piracy can bring new business to companies, which we've seen. Speaking at the MITM conference in Keynes, Rovio Mobile CEO Michael Head says piracy can actually create good results. So what did he say exactly? He says, we have some issues with piracy, not only in apps, but also especially in the consumer products. There is tons and tons of merchandise out there, especially in Asia, which is not officially licensed. We should learn a lot from the music industry and rather and the rather terrible ways the music industry has tried to combat piracy. Piracy may not be a bad thing. It can get us more business at the end of the day. All right, so what does he say we can learn from the music industry? He says, we took something from the music industry, which was to stop treating the customers as users and start treating them as fans. We do that today. We talk about how many fans we have. If we lose that fan base, our business is done. But if we can grow that fan base, our business will grow. I still hate you, Angry Birds. I don't care.
They aren't wrong. I just wish they would make something else.
Yeah. I was in JCPenney's the other day, and they were selling Angry Birds.
They sell them everywhere. They sell them yeah, they sell them everywhere. They talk.
I did. I had to thank a lady, though. It was a grandmother and her child, or her grandchild, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid was trying to get her to buy an Angry Bird, and she's like, these are $35.
They're $35 at a JCPenney?
At JCPenney's, yes. She's like, I'm not paying $35 for this stupid thing.
Okay.
I had to go with a thank you. Please, even if you find one cheaper, don't buy this for your kid.
Okay.
Don't. Just let it die.
Whether or not you buy for them, that is too much money. JCPenney's needs to be ashamed of themselves. You can get those things for $12 at Toys R Us.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably the size of one of those small little basketballs, you know, just the little play ones that you get.
Oh, those are not even $35 at Toys R Us. Those are like $15. I think that's the most expensive one I saw was $15. I still thought that was high. It's $6 for one of the smaller ones, and I think there's one for $2.99. But
$35? Mm-hmm.
That's like lunch for a week.
Yeah, I thought it was amusing that I was with chunked one at me, and I punched him in the stomach.
Did he go, ca-ca?
No, like, oh, I didn't expect that. It was hilarious. He thought he was going to be cute. He threw it at me, and it bounced off my head as these two girls walked by giggling. So I had to punch him in the stomach. And that made him start giggling even more. I was like, uh-huh, showing off to the girls. You see? Now you just got your butt kicked.
He go, oop, like the pigs. He should have went, oop, like the pigs when you hit him. Okay, anyway. Yeah,
see, I've never played, so I don't know.
Don't play, because that's how they get you.
Yes,
it is a fun game. I wish they would make something else. Please don't let that be all you do. I think that's what I'm most irritated about.
And I know a lot of people I talk to are like, well, you've not even played. How can you hate it? Because this is like the zombie infestation. It hits one person, and then it spreads. And I'm trying to, you know, stop that.
You're trying to avoid it. Yeah. Trying to avoid being infected. It's not bad.
Honestly,
Gigi, you sit down and play, and you go, like, this is really fun. But 2 weeks later, when you've, you know, it's like, stop, enough already. Enough. At least for me, because I tell y'all, you know, not only do we review games here, that's part of whenever I finish my degree, my major's game development. So when I'm playing stuff after a while, when it's too repetitive, I start breaking it down like a developer. Yes, so then I can figure out all the angles to hit the birds, and I can see the puzzle that they're trying to put together. And then that's why it ceases to be fun for me. So I'm like, make something else. Not new puzzles, but just a different game altogether. I'm bored with you is what I am. And I spent my 99 cents. You got a dollar out of me, but you're not getting anything else. Oh, I'm sorry. More than a dollar. I bought some Angry Birds plushies for kids the Christmas time. But I couldn't help it. It was a begging, please, please, please. And it was a cheap gift. So anyway, moving along. More mega upload, mega drama. Yeah, you just saw me post this on Twitter, didn't you? You came here to hear about it. Well, Mega Upload's third-party host is saying they're not going to delete the data, at least for now. VentureBeat is reporting the hosting companies that stored the files from Mega Upload's users' digital lockers, Carpathia Hosting and Cogent Communications Group, has decided not to delete that data from its servers, at least temporarily. For those of you who haven't been following, Mega Upload was a cloud storage company that encouraged users to upload personal files and share them with the outside world, and in some cases, attaining a commission fee for doing so. I didn't get a fee. What? Oh, I'm sorry. However, U.S. accused the company of piracy and proceeded to arrest several of the Mega Upload's employees and freeze millions of dollars in assets. Millions. We said millions. Well, without a way to pay the operating costs of running the business, as well as a letter from government authorities stating that third-party hosting companies could begin deleting Mega Upload's data, it was thought that the personal files stored on Mega Upload's users could be lost by the end of the week, as we told you about yesterday. However, Mega Upload lawyer Rothen confirmed via Twitter yesterday, I'm going to need for you to stop using Twitter as a lawyer, really, that the stay of execution for at least 2 weeks.
Don't you know the internet lawyers know everything?
Well, I don't like you posting stuff that has to do with a, you know, a federal case on your Twitter. This is the thing that's why the government is coming after us in the first place. Don't do BS like that. And while the U.S. government doesn't seem very interested in sorting out the copyright infringing files from the rest, it does buy the two parties a bit more time to sort out the issue. Same cannot be said of the users who hope to regain access to their personal files. In addition, Carpathia Hosting did release a statement about the upload's user data, and they said in reference to a letter filed by the U.S. Department of Justice with the Eastern District of Virginia on January 27, 2012, Carpathia Hosting does not and has never had access to the content on Mega Upload servers and has no mechanism for returning any content residing on such servers to Mega Upload's customers. The reference to the February 2nd on the Department of Justice letter for the deletion of content is not based on any information provided by Carpathia to the U.S. government. We would recommend that anyone who believes that they have content on Mega Upload servers contact Mega Upload. Please do not contact Carpathia Hosting. That is the stupidest statement I've ever seen anybody put out. How the hell are they going to contact Mega Upload?
I know, right?
People that you all that have a lawsuit against them, and I get you a good lawyer. I mean, go top rung. Go look for one in California because that's the one you need. You need you a showboy lawyer. And when I say showboy, I mean the equivalent of a showgirl. You need the showboat lawyer. He looks good. He's got a big mouth. And he's going to get down and dirty. Go get one of those guys. Get a class action together and start suing. Get the government. Go ahead and throw these people in there, too, because you do have their files. I understand you maybe can't access them, but to keep going, we'll contact Mega Upload. Obviously, they can't. That is some circle logic BS. People, really? Oh, come on.
That was kind of nice.
What? My little rant?
No, go find you one of those good-looking boys with big mouths. No.
Well, yeah, that's where all the good-looking lawyers come from. That's where all the good-looking, great. You know what? Snow is texting me during the podcast, so I think we should call her.
I think we should call her too. Let's call her.
Let's call her. And just so you all know, we never use our calling people. Wait a minute. Look, we never use our little calling people feature, so this is the first time we're going to use this. This is going to be funny. She's going to answer.
Yay.
Wait a minute. Let me make sure I don't put her number on the air. Put her number all out on the air. She's going to cut me.
Snow.
Let me see if she's going to answer. It's dialing. She's going to cut us.
She's like, I'm not answering that. I'm not answering that.
She has a number. That's why
she's like. No, answer your phone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 281.
No.
No, I'm not hanging up. I'm going to say that. Snow, there you go. Write it down. Okay, no. Oh, gosh. Oh, she needs to take that off. You should never, people out there, if you have a voicemail, never let the voicemail do that for that reason. What if somebody was calling you about, you know, something?
Yes.
You never do that. You always leave a message. And you can do, this is my favorite. One of my oldest and dearest friends does this. She says, you have reached the number you have dialed. Leave a message. You know nothing. You know who you're calling. You don't have the number. Hope you got the right person. And that's how it should be. Maintain your privacy.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So?
She knew I was going to call. I told her I was going to do it. Anyway, back to our news. That was a fun sidebar.
It was.
She is going to kill us.
I found this last night while I was watching Anonymous's Twitter because, oh my God, I'm addicted to that. CNET.com, Twitter CEO Dick Costolo talks censorship. The question on many people's minds since last week is why Twitter announced that it would remove tweets on a country-by-country basis as per local government's request, a plan that some people call censorship. So Dick Costolo, CEO of Twitter, sat down with Peter Kafka for an interview. What did he say? All right. Twitter's policy on removing tweets has changed, but rather the social media company wants to announce that it would lost content for the rest of the world to see while still adhering to laws locally. He says this is a purely reactive capability. We don't proactively do anything. In the interview, Costello said that he doesn't see a way that Twitter could ever operate in China under the current system, and that this was not a move to seek China's business. Also in the interview, Costello maintained that Twitter's new policy is the most honest, transparent, and forward-looking way. And when we get a legal order that is valid, we will try to make sure that all the tweets are viewable in as many parts of the world as possible. All right, so what else did he say? He said, Costello said everyone at Twitter reveres Google, but that users should be able to search for information on either site. Regarding access to data, Google crawls us over 100 million times per day. The Google bot has more than 3 billion pages. They have the data, I think, that they need. And I'm hearing weird noises. Okay, well, not blocking out the protest for SOPA. They said there were 3.9 million tweets that day. Oh, my head is so congested all of a sudden. Wednesday, about SOPA and PIPA. When you've got an amplifier like that, you don't pull out the batteries of the microphone. And one more thing.
They should have said that day. They should have said, we're not going. They could have put a banner.
Yeah, not calling the rest of us stupid for doing this.
Mm-hmm. That's why people were angry with you. You took no stance other than to, you know.
Call us stupid.
Tell the rest of the world something was wrong with them, and it's idiotic, and that's bad for business. How about, you know what, we're not going to shut down because we want to be your voice. We want to make sure you can still make your voice heard via us. And they could have very well stuck a little no SOPA little banner in the corner. That's how you support. Google didn't completely go down. They didn't expect them to, but they still showed their support. That's what made it, you know, everyone not get after them.
Yeah. He also says on Facebook's IPO versus Twitter going public, Mark and Sheryl are doing a great job running that company. It's a really big company, and they've had amazing success. He says, however, Twitter is focusing on its own goals. Eventually, though, Twitter will probably go public because the cap table can't include more than 500 shareholders. Dude,
well.
I don't like you. I don't. You called us stupid.
Well, he called Wikipedia stupid. It's bad for business. They don't. It's a not-for-profit.
Yeah.
You worry me. Okay. Some of you will be very excited about this. I don't know how I feel about it because I'm not sure which EverQuest this is that they're offering. But in case you were wondering, and you've heard us talk about EverQuest often, and again, not sure which EverQuest this is, and I'll tell you which one we're talking about, it is now free to play. That's right. Sony Online Entertainment's Vulnerable, they call it, or Venerable MMO, which is 13 years old today, is going free to play. Yeah, I run it. See what I did?
Mm-hmm. 13 years? That's got to be the original EverQuest.
It seems like it might be, but remember there was the original EverQuest they've started calling Classic, which was free to play anyway, so that's why I'm not sure. The game, of course, has seen numerous updates. It runs concurrently with its sequel, EverQuest 2, which will turn 13 in March. Various new payment methods will be introduced as it does age. What happened? GLaDOS got me?
There you go. Yeah,
oh, okay. Including a free-to-play option, the game unlocks a traditional full subscription model. Three payment tiers will be established. Of course, you have your free-to-play, which offers the lowest level of access, and a one-time payment of $5, which gives you silver access, and then for $15 a month, you can get gold access. I kind of like that. $5, and that's all I got to pay forever? Forever, ever? Forever, ever.
You did not just gather.
I did.
Oh, my God. I love you, Corey.
So they're saying the game will not set up flexible. So you can decide just how much to pay based on how much fun you're having. Given how much of this is from, actually, that was Tom Terrazas, who's the EverQuest producer, that said that. He said, given how many of the game's long-term loyal players will want to experience the in-game content, which is likely only to be introduced with the gold memberships, it seems likely that many will continue to use that system. Whether such an old title can stand out among the crowd of free-to-play games enough to attract new customers to microtransactions and eventually subscription remains to be seen. However, when EverQuest 2, Quest, not Crest, went to free-to-play last year, Sony claimed that the new player registrations had risen by 300%. Now, assuming this is the original EverQuest, I hope that you all will go try it. If you're, you know, you're a newer gamer, and when I say newer gamer, meaning you probably weren't born when EverQuest original was out, or maybe you were 2-3 years old, yeah. I urge you to go play it because it is, you know, what WoW proclaims it is.
It is the ancestor of all MMORPGs.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And you have to try it to understand. And some of you are going to be like, this is boring, and I don't want to have to eat and cook and stuff. So if you don't like, you know, some depth in your MMO, you like. And I'm not trying to dig at WoW. WoW is a wonderful game. It just wasn't for me. And I think, I've said before, I think the developers over there are brilliant, but EverQuest had some depth. When it said you were questing, you were questing. You had to go find your quest. And some of they were not along the path of you had to talk to four or five people. Sometimes it paid off to go wander around the side of a building or swim through the channel because there was something down there. They, you know, they had stuff hidden everywhere. So that's what I like, is that I got my money's worth. My $12 a month was well spent back in the day.
Yes, yes, yes. I still remember when I realized that there was a little hidden chamber underneath the boat. So in case you had bad faction.
I never knew that. I got the crap beat out of me. I just stopped going to that city. I know what you're doing.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to go to that city. I didn't know there was a chamber underneath the boat. Thank
you. There was a chamber underneath the boat. Yeah.
Did you know there was a blob living underneath the city in Quenos? Did you know that?
No, I did not know.
Like a monster like the blob. And when he was protecting some kind of treasure thing. And it started some kind of other weird quest. But not many people knew that. I went down there by accident. And it's like, oh, what is that pretty cloudy thing? Ouch, stop eating me. So then when I went and, you know, I came back out, and this was remember the early days of the internet. People were still posting stuff, so I found a little bit of a blur about it and went back and tried to do the quest. I don't think I ever completed it because he was hard to kill. He was like level 80 or something. You had to take a gang of people with you to take him down. But he was living beneath the city. You'd never know this unless you just quested.
Oh, God, I still remember so much fun in that game. I still remember. I don't know how I attacked that darn innkeeper, and he took my mallet. It was in his bags. He was selling it when I came back. I was like, no!
You know, they just started putting that back in games where when somebody takes something from you or something, recently, that is just starting to show back up, but it was in EverQuest first. They
I
would
love
beat
that.
You and
I thought
take
that
your...
was so awesome.
Beat the hell out of you and take your stuff, and you go back in and be selling it to you, and it'd be real high for you. Like you had to get somebody else to buy it.
Yes, yes, it was outrageous. I couldn't afford it to get it back. I was like, oh my God, I was so heartbroken. I loved that mallet. That mallet was awesome.
See people,
and he took it.
See people, good times. You hear anybody talking like that about WoW? Mm-mm.
And, like, WoW, they have specific recipes for what you're going to cook, and they're going to tell you how to make them. EverQuest, there were no recipes.
You mix up whatever you want to mix up, and it does whatever it's supposed to do based on its properties. Love that.
Yes, so you know, if you wanted to make something, you better remember exactly what went into it.
I never remember. That's why I would sit at the gate and sell my stuff. I come up with some crazy stuff. Okay, this jewelry right here is going to be 5 charisma. It's also going to boost your health and take away 5% hunger every hour. Here you go.
That's nice. God, I miss that game.
12 gold. That's
I hated
beating it. 12 gold.
I had a love-hate relationship with that game.
What, EverQuest?
Yeah.
I would complain, but I honestly did love it. If you hear me talk about it now, obviously I loved it. I loved playing it. I spent many hours of my life on a weekend. Like, I'd get off work on a Friday, and I'm home. I get off at 5. I'm home by 6:30. I have my biscuit and rice I got from Popeyes. Mm-hmm. If you don't live in the South, you don't know what Popeyes is. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Popeyes is so good.
Yes. I have my biscuit, my rice, my Coke.
Got nothing on Popeyes.
Damn straight. And that's what I do. From 5, or sorry, from 6:30 until Sunday morning around 11, I'm in EverQuest. Just questing. Running across the plains.
Yes.
Okay, anyway.
Yes. So when we say running, we mean running.
Because you better not stop. Okay, we're off the news.
We are.
Nostalgia show. I think that's a good idea. We may have an EverQuest nostalgia show to celebrate
this. I like that.
We'll all talk about our things. We'll let some of you call in if you've played.
Oh, yes. I like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, so more GamePolitics.com this morning because there are just a crap ton worth of news stories up this morning. KPN and T-Mobile refuse to block the Pirate Bay without court order.
I don't even blame them. Thank you.
I know, right?
Thank you.
All right, so two prominent internet service providers in the Netherlands say that they will not block customer access to the infamous The Pirate Bay website based on threats of an anti-piracy group. 2 weeks ago, the Hollywood-backed anti-piracy outfit Brein, B-R-E-I-N, I've got a cough, hold on, what is the voice? Oh, seriously, weather in Texas sucks. All right, so Brein won a major victory in the court of The Hague, ruled that Zygo and XS4ALL have to block access to the Pirate Bay. The two companies are the largest ISPs the Netherlands. Now Brian wants two other ISPs in the country, KPN and T-Mobile, to follow suit, but both are defiant. They say the only way they will block the file sharing site is if they the court ordered them to do so. Sorry, this is not exactly translated correctly. KPN sees the blocking of websites as a drastic measure for which a court order is required, says KPN in a statement, adding that innovation is needed to curb piracy. KPN doesn't believe a blockade is the right solution. What is needed are robust, attractive business models that are easy to use and offer a fair deal to both producers and consumers of content. T-Mobile strongly supports an open internet and is fundamentally against shutting off access to websites. Dutch law is very clear when it comes to blocking access to the internet. T-Mobile will only respond to a court ruling, not to the demands of a private party such as Brian. Yes. All right. But unfortunately, Zygo and XS for All are expected to comply with the court order on February 1st. Man, you know what? And this irritates me. This is what really, really irritates me. We're from the U.S. in that we are over there trying to dictate other countries' laws. That, cover your ears or your boss is around. I'm sorry. That pisses me off. We shouldn't be doing that.
Nope.
We have no business doing that. You don't want us to download your stuff. You don't want us to steal your stuff. You know what? Come up with something else. Come up with a reason why we should pay you for your crappy stuff. I don't want to have to pay $30 for your movie, $50 for your game, and it be complete trash.
See, that's why there needs to be some type of something.
Yes. And, you know, and I might actually believe the reviews.
Look, that made no sense what I just said. Some type of something.
And I'm actually believe that my reviews, were you not padding them? Were you not paying people to pad those for you? So, yeah, I'm a little bit irritated by this. Stick your noses elsewhere.
Y'all have pissed
Charcoal.
Off the ginger.
Put it there.
Mm-hmm. Pissed off the ginger. See what happens?
Yes.
That's what happens, man. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. She is really fuming.
We have no business. I mean, we did it with Spain. We're trying to do it with them. We did it with the Netherlands. We're helping out Australia. We've got our noses in Mexico. Stop it. We have bigger and better things to worry about than your stupid movie being downloaded. How about, here's a better idea. Let's not pay these actors $1 billion for a movie. Let's actually pay the people who made the darn thing.
You know, we already know here in this country our perspectives are skewed. And please, no Super Bowl haters contact me. We pay grown men to put on a costume and bank to each other billions of dollars, but we will not pay the doctor, say that's over there working on a cure for cancer. We have to raise money to give to him.
Yes.
So
yes.
We already know our perspectives are skewed here in this country.
Yes.
One day. Revolution will
take care of the little people. This wouldn't be an issue.
The revolution will not be televised, but it will be on Twitter. Okay, anyway. Triangle Games Initiative, they're officially announcing their 2012 East Coast Game Conference. That's going to be held April 25th to the 26th, and they're calling for speaker submissions. It's now open to all developers and industry professionals. If you're not familiar with this, it's being called the Trade Association for the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina and Interactive Entertainment Industry, and has officially announced this conference. Why did they write this and send it to us this way? Read this. They also announced that it's calling for not only speaker submissions, but some of you, you developers and industry professionals, to submit a paper about sponsorship register for attendance, and they want you to see firsthand what the forerunners of the East Coast gaming industry are up to. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. When is PAX? ECGC is a leading forum for game industry professionals on the East Coast to share expertise, network, and build careers. The fourth annual ECGC will be focused on one of the most significant trends in the gaming industry today, the growing importance of content over platforms. Along with exploring this core topic, leading innovators and professionals from around the nation will also be leading panels, lectures, and discussions on the following tracks: academic, business of games, advanced learning, programming, visual arts, game design, social and mobile, and game fundamentals. Some of the best attended and best reviewed panels from last year's conference that we don't remember anything about is The Railroad and the Labyrinth, The Evolution of FPS Level Design, Next Gen 3D Mobile Gaming on Android, A Practical Guide. For information on how you can submit a paper and lead one of this year's hit sessions can be found at ECG
conf, C-O-N-F as in Frank.com /call-speakers. They are telling me to pass along that right now they're accepting early bird passes, and you have until March the 1st to get this out. Let me take a peek at the prices, and I will tell you because they did not send them to us. What is this early bird business? Well, they're still not putting any prices. What I got is there's a professional, standard, and expo pass. So you can kind of gauge by the fact that there's three how which one you need. Also, there's press, in case you got some. I know some other press people listen to us. There's a press pass, in case you were wondering. We could go. We got peoples in Raleigh or near that way. We could go. But do we want to go is the question. This doesn't sound fun to me. And I don't mean just because it's, you know, they're talking about developer stuff. It's just they're not coming off fun. And I don't mean to put you guys down. I'm happy you're doing something on the East Coast. If you could just work your way around the coast and come down this way, would be...
South, east and west. That's great. Can y'all do smack dab in the middle?
That's all right.
It's out.
So eventually
Texas.
People's in Austin or... Yeah, it's going to happen.
We've got Austin. We've got Dallas. I prefer you do it in Austin. But, you know, either way, I can drive to either.
Yeah, Jay's saying he lives in the Triangle there in Raleigh, and he's barely heard of them. So we're coming to your house when we come to – if we decide to go, we're staying at your house. That would be just too much. And good morning to you, King Quagmire.
Yay! People are awake.
Good morning to you.
I was wondering where everybody was.
I'm not looking at Twitter, so they may have been talking to me for the last 15 minutes. I'm like all, I'm really knee deep in some news. I'm all knee deep in some news. Seriously, I'm like, oh yeah, this is good. I should talk about this.
It's a good news story today. Oh,
it really is juicy, delicious.
I still don't understand. We have to like just search and search and sift through crap.
So we try to get good stuff. Okay, what you got, Ginger? Because we start running low.
I've got a new world record is what I've got.
I got that a couple of days ago, Sunday, but I was like, it didn't make any sense. So please tell us, because that's why I didn't grab it. Tell me.
All right. Man versus Machine broke first-person shooter world record for one time, 999 players and browser carnage.
Woo, that's lovely.
Yes, this is all one battle, all at one time. Much Different made a new world record in their game Man vs. Machine last Sunday as 999 players battled lag-free. Oh, bull crap. I saw the screenshots. They were screaming about lag. And the biggest first-person shooter ever made. Today, Guinness World Records made it official. Man vs. Machine was developed in Unity and was in browser battle between two teams. Men were the strongest and had the upper hand for most of the game. It was not until the very end that machines were able to fight back and finally took complete control over the battlefield.
Of course they did. That's what machines do.
I know, exactly right. Much Different, who provided both the game and the new server technology, was at first overwhelmed by the huge number of people trying to join this one-time event. CEO Christian Lonholm explains it was amazing. We did not imagine the amount of interest that this game would generate, so the system went down shortly after we had reached the peak of 999 players. Within minutes, we were able to adjust it, and the battle continued for about another 2 hours. Almost until the end, we were averaging around 980 players at any given moment. It was a blast. So the Guinness World Records Gamers Edition says this test met the requirements for being a first-person online shooter. It exceeds the requirements and is a good example of the spirit of the world record and the competition that should generate the industry technology. They say obviously this would not have been possible without the players. So I'd like to send a special warm and loving thank you to them. Thank you for bringing such creativity to both the battlefield and to the chat. You had me laughing, giggling, and spilling coffee throughout the event. And I would probably post some of these screenshots, because y'all had plenty of them. But as I got to looking at the chat inside the screenshots...
Was it bad?
Some of it was pretty bad.
Blurring maybe needed?
Oh, maybe I could blur it. Yeah, maybe I could blur it. I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Put some little stars over it and circle it so you make sure. I want you to see it, but I don't want you to see it. Look right here. Okay. Yes,
but there was definitely people screaming about lag. I saw it.
Well, paying for stuff, your virtual goods, supposed to get a little bit easier. Payment One and Live Gamer announced today that, I'm sorry, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Live Gamer is announcing that Payment One have added Live Gamer, or the Live Gamer platform, to expand global mobile payment options. See, that was a nice little weird lip tongue twister thing. Payment One's Any Phone platform offers end users the simplest means possible for making in-game purchases with their mobile phones. Through this partnership, Payment One has is saying they're going to become an integrated payment provider in Live Gamer's platform. You know, I'm going to need y'all to, when y'all send these over, just read them out loud first. Enabling any
payment. You mean they actually have to do the work of making sure that they make sense?
It makes sense, but it's just too all, you know, somebody got a little too wordy.
Jabber.
They're enabling any phone as a mobile payment option for Live Gamer's impressive list of customers. Payment One's white label brand strategy is key to these customers as they are able to streamline any user experience and maintain consistency throughout the payment process. That's nice. Payment One's proven expertise and brand global solution made our decision to partner with the company to expand our worldwide mobile payment options an easy one, said Andrew Schneider, who's the president and co-founder of Live Gamer. He says, we're excited to offer our game developer and publisher partners the opportunity to leverage Payment One's broad coverage spanning more than 80 countries as a way to maximize their monetization opportunities, expand their customer reach, and ultimately increase their revenue streams. With flexibility, yeah, anyway, go check this out if you're interested. I'm like, yeah. Well, here's a little stat for you in case you were interested. Payment One has already processed in excess of $5 billion in direct-to-carrier billings. Some of you out there are going a little crazy. But you want to know what they're being spent on?
Midget porn.
No, amazingly enough, World of Warcraft, Blizzard Entertainment, America Online's games, Gaia, and WeWorld. Never heard of before.
I have heard of Gaia. WeWorld, I have not heard of.
And when I say WeWorld, stop seeing it with the two I's. It's Wii, W-E-E, the way it was originally supposed to be spelled before Nintendo got a hold of it. So, if you're wondering now when you're buying stuff on your phone, this is who will be taking care of it for you. Good luck to them. Congratulations and all that good stuff. Stop giving me all these wordy things you send over. Right? We just need to get to the point, people. Just get to the point.
But, Jay, I want to play in your games cabinet, please.
You haven't seen his games cabinet. That's the reason why he doesn't want us in it, because I think Jay's one of the few people I actually know who trumps me in a console collections. So I've been telling him I'm going to steal his Dreamcast.
Oh, that's hot. How about we just pose with it?
No, posing with it is not fun. I need to be able to put it in my purse.
Never mind. I was going to say something. I was going to make a remark about. We could make a gamer girl calendar with just those and us, but yeah, never mind.
No, I will cut you.
I know you will, so I didn't do it. All right, so. I'm going to get cut. Pirate Party urges Australian government to drop ACTA support. Even as the Pirate Party petitions the Australian government to rescind its ratification of the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, ACTA, party leaders admit that it's probably too late to cause a sea change on that front. ACTA, which has been signed by Australia, Canada, the European Union, Japan, the Republic of Korea, Mexico, Morocco, New Zealand, Singapore, Switzerland, and the United States, which is evil, is a secret treaty that is supposed to combat counterfeiting and piracy through cooperation among the international community with a set of best practice guidelines for enforcement, along with the legal framework to support these practices. Australia signed the ACTA last year and invited submissions on the terms of reference until January 27th. The treaty, which was negotiated in secret people around the world, is getting a lot of scrutiny in the wake of protests in the United States over SOPA and PIPA. The Australian government has not set a date for a public hearing on the issue, but once these are heard, it is expected to ratify the agreement. Pirate Party Secretary Brendan Molly, has been highly critical of the process, saying that they have been hindered in submitting any formal submission until the formal text was released in November of last year, well after the signing of the agreement. Molloy says our information to initially criticize the agreement was based on leaked drafts. This also means that we are unsure who was consulted and how they were consulted when ACTA was being drafted. The whole development process of the agreement has been a farcical, completely fake, secretive, and without evidence to back up its relevance. It is a horribly flawed agreement. I agree. Anything done in secret should not be passed for the good of the world. If it were for the good of the world, you'd do it in plain daylight where we can see it and tell you, hey, look, we don't like that. Oh, I'm going to beat somebody with a baseball bat. All right, so none of them wanted their names. Malloy further claims that public consultations held in Sydney in 2010 with members of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade Customs and the Attorney General's Department were held in secret. He says none of them wanted their names revealed. No kidding, because they don't want us down there throwing a fit at them, especially when they're getting their pockets lined with money. And it made it quite clear to us that as public as these consultations were being labeled to be, they would prefer it if we did not broadcast the words spoken in the room, reiterating that in America we would have been required to sign a non-disclosure agreement. This was repeated countless times as I continued to be coached. America, we are not Australia, we are not Mexico, we are not Morocco, we are not Japan, we are not the Netherlands, we are not any of these places. How about we keep our noses in our own darn business?
Jay says I'm going to have to pry his games from his cold, dead hands, and he shook his fist at me. Okay.
I love you, Jay. Mwah.
I'll cut you, Jay. I'm going to cut you.
I'll miss you when you're gone, Jay.
Just for that, Jay, next time we're playing GTA and you're on the side hanging out the window shooting, I'm going to ride up against the side of a building. I'm just going to just smash you. Okay. So those of you who've been playing Dark Souls already know about this. There are some serious frame rate issues. And because of it, they're also uncertain on whether or not there will be a sequel. Dark Souls developer From Software has admitted to some technical difficulties which cause trouble frame rate issues in its hard-as-nails role player. From Soft felt out... They're saying they felt out of the game's huge... Dark Souls creative director Hidetaka Miyazaki revealed to Edge magazine. He says, yes, there were technical difficulties. I don't believe that it's okay to have them, but realistically speaking, it was quite a large-scale game, even in terms of budget and expectations. So we're very sorry for the trouble we've caused by our processing errors and bugs from Japan. It was a title that we don't really experience in all, that we haven't really experienced in all aspects. So there were areas where we felt our technical side couldn't keep up with the game's scope, like an increasingly growing ache. Miyazaki considered working on the game a learning curve, but is unsure whether FromSoft will ever revisit the Dark Souls universe. We don't even know if we'll have another chance. We have the confidence that we can improve from our mistakes this time and create an even better Dark World. We don't know if users will forgive us for the mistakes. You know what we're not forgiving? That little whiny-ass apology you just gave us there, dude. Why don't you just do some patching? Stop complaining. Stop talking to the people or telling you're sorry. Fix it. That's where you're going to lose your fans. Issue something, say we're sorry, and give them a gift because, you know, they're easy to appease. Here's a nice in-game something or a side quest for free, and fix it. That's what you do.
Yes.
Whiny
exactly.
Whiny little beeps. Okay. It's time for us to take a break.
Oh, it is. Look at that. Time for a break. Yeah, baby.
Time for breaks. Okay, I got to do this one because for some reason, all the girls here like this one, although the name of the song is Bad Boys for Life, but we're Gamer Girls for Life. There's a whole bunch of people that are now bobbing their heads to guess. Remember, you guys know where to find us, GamerGirlsRadio.com, GameAndAtrix.com. We're here on Blog Talk 24/7, even when we're not live. We got years and years of shows. And of course, you can find us in, oh God, everywhere.
Twitter and Facebook and Second Life and very possibly an EverQuest near you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going back in.
I know.
To be Dark Claw, you're a little perfect.
I love you, Jay.
Oh. guys. That's pretty good. That was trying to say.
That's fine. I like the song. We can keep on.
She was trying to grab it. She was like, I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. All right. Is it my turn still?
No, it is my turn. It is my turn.
Do it. Do it, Ginger.
Do it. All right. I got a short one, so I'm going to grab two. Microsoft files complaints against Halo for beta phishing sites.
But we talked about that yesterday. Is there an update?
I don't know. Let me see. Because I will totally admit I didn't read this beforehand.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, that Halo 4 developer 343 Industries warned gamers that any Halo 4 sites offering access to a beta were fake. One such site, Halo4Beta.net, is now feeling the wrath of Microsoft's legal team, according to... Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. According to another website that's not Gamer Girls Radio, so yeah. filed a complaint, case number 14266, with the National Arbitration Forum.
Oh, that is an update. Okay, continue.
Yes, after the complaint was filed, the operator, operators of Halo4Beta.net took the website down, but Microsoft is aiming to get the National Arbitration Panel to transfer the site's domain name to them. I don't blame you. Microsoft is not always heavy-handed when it comes to domain names. It paid the owner of Halo4.com an undisclosed amount of money to take ownership of it instead of filing a complaint. Halo 4 is set for a holiday 2012 release, and I can't wait. I can't wait.
Breathe, girl, breathe. Breathe. No. Hands off the desk. Hey, this is daytime. No.
Master Chief.
I want you to calm down. Are you okay? You got it under control?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Master Chief, I love you.
Link, do something about this.
Link, don't you touch me.
All right. Well, see, this goes back to a rumor. This is, you know what, I'm not going to talk about that. That's a few days old, and we've quelled some rumors, but I'm just not sure. So we're going to leave that alone. There's something to do with Microsoft and Xbox and some chips and things. But we're going to save that for another day. I'm sorry. I'm noticing. We tell you guys we're looking through everybody's news as we're doing this, and I'm loving that VentureBeat actually has – they not just have a game section, but they have sections dedicated to Modern Warfare 3 and then Battlefield 3, and the rest of it is kind of thrown into the middle. Hilarious, you guys over there. Hilarious. Anyway, back to what I was going to look at. Those of you who love these types of games, you will be happy to know Panzer Corps Grand Campaign 1942 is officially released. This is the fourth DLC release. Just saying, if you haven't already, check out what all the buzz is about and download a playable demo. Did you grab this one already?
Panzer IV?
Yeah. Panzer Corps?
Or Panzer Corps, sorry. Panzer Corps, no.
Okay, now make sure I get that up for you guys. You can download a playable demo. We'll give you the link. And they're saying it's being called nothing short of brilliant. Of course, we're not one of the critics that said this because we haven't played it yet.
I want to say friend? No, never mind.
I would say blaster because this is a blaster game for sure, but I don't think I don't think this is one that he grabbed. Maybe I'll try it. I like a little RTS every now and again. They gave us a little bit about it. Poland, Norway, Belgium, Holland, Luxembourg, France, Yugoslavia, and Greece, all of these nations have fallen under occupation, and it was assumed that Russia would quickly join their ranks. Not only has the Russia bear survived the invasion of 1942, but its winter offensive is still in full swing. What are you going to do? Take command of your forces once again in the latest installment of the Grand Campaign as you repel Soviet offensives and begin the fateful advance between the Don and Donetsk towards Stalingrad. Yay. This DLC features 15 all-new scenarios, a sprawling urban combat environment of Stalingrad. New campaign features unique objectives such as escorting train convoys and smashing enemy reinforcements as they attempt to cross the Volga River, and the capacity to save your core force for use in future campaigns. Okay, I like that. You know how usually when you die and once the level's over in the RTS, you don't get any of that stuff back?
Yeah.
Yeah, that pisses me off. The Grand Campaigns are a series of expansions for Panzer Corps and require
Panzer Corps to play. Each campaign can be started with the core force from previous Grand Campaign, so you can continue all Grand Campaign expansions, carrying over all the core forces that completed the previous one. Alternatively, players can start with a preset core force and play each campaign on its own or jump into the Grand Campaign at any year. After 1942, I'm guessing, you can get more information on Panzer Corps from its official site, Slytherin, or on Matrix, the Matrix game site. And, of course, the campaign is available from there, Grand Campaign 1942. I will have this up for you probably, by the time you listen to this, because we're on the other side, so probably by the time you hear this, it'll be up. Go check out our news section.
Yay! All right, what have we got? Oh, more fights. More fights! We love some fights.
Is there oil involved? Is it men and oil?
No, but there might ought to be some hot oil involved.
Ooh,
by hot, I mean boiling.
Ooh, do it.
GamePolitics.com. Another developer accuses Zynga of stealing game design.
Yeah, we talked about that one yesterday, too.
Did we talk about... Oh, well, then never mind. I won't do this one. Never mind. All right. Looks like there's a job. There's a job. DICE seeks anti-cheat administrator. DICE is looking for an anti-cheat security expert. Expert, according to a new job listing on its official site. The Battlefield series developer is looking for someone willing to take up residence in its home office, Stockholm, Sweden, where they will be charged with securing the online experience for all DICE titles. Sorry, that was not written correctly. Whoever dons the mantle of anti-cheat administrator will have their work cut out for them, given all the hacking and cheating going on with this latest title, Battlefield 3. If this sounds like your cup of tea and you're qualified to handle the job, you can find out more over at dice.se/hiring.asp. So that's kind of interesting. If you need some work, if you're willing to relocate.
Ooh, no child. Well, I do believe are we getting the Wii U this year? In Japan by the end of this year. So they're saying right now the technical specs for Wii U are still in flux, according to the Dead or Alive 5 developer Team Ninja. They said the Wii U game development is very easy and almost exactly like on PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360. Team Ninja revealed to InGamer magazine in an interview discussing the Wii U version of upcoming hack and slash Ninja Gaiden 3. Please, you people, put your hands above your desk. They're like, oh my god, Ninja Gaiden! Okay, it's okay. Okay, so Nintendo has mostly remained hushed on the Wii U's final capabilities. Unsurprising, considering the fact that the console's abilities are changing constantly. Team Ninja's Yosuke Hayashi has revealed to Eurogamer.net. Man, I'm having trouble talking. So they asked us what we would want from the hardware, and we gave them feedback. We can see that they have definitely listened and are making some changes. He said the hardware is still changing constantly. So Team Ninja's Yasuda added that to the Wii U's touchscreen tablet controls that are similar to those on DS, something the team has experience with the handheld tied-up Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. And guess who that is? Let's see who that is.
Is that who we think it is?
That would be the lovely Snow White. Snow, you're live on radio.
I'm sorry, I'm not about the show again.
We called you earlier from the show.
It's every day. Aww.
You wouldn't answer. I said she's not going to recognize the number. Good morning. Say hello to your legions of fans.
Hi guys, am I actually on air?
Yes, you're on air. Yes, I have you on speaker.
Awesome.
We love you, Snow.
You have to behave. Okay.
Ginger says we love you, Snow.
Aww, love you too.
All right, you want me to call you back after the show, dear?
Yes.
Okay.
Talk about stuff on air.
I know. Bye. Bye, Ladybug.
Bye.
Okay, to finish that story up, now that we were interrupted in the middle, Nintendo has confirmed that the Wii U will launch in Europe, the U.S., and Japan by the end of 2012. And, of course, you'll get some more details at E3 this year if there is one. What a nice interruption.
Yes.
So I wonder, okay, this is going to be very interesting. Although it's like the PS3 or Xbox 360, you know, the hinting, you know it's going to be way more powerful than them. And the reason being is, if you think about they're saying, you know, the Wii is nearing the end of its life cycle. It still came out before we got the Xbox, you know, the newer stuff they added, and the PlayStation. So for even it to last this long and almost outlast them, you know, content-wise or gaming-wise or whatever, community-wise.
Yeah, just now when the Xbox and PS4 finally catch, you know, Wii's like, you know what, we're going to take it up another notch.
That's so 2005.
Little one is up here.
That's so 2005. We're now in the new millennium. But
exactly.
But they make great consoles. And my biggest pet peeve that I have with Xbox, of course, is the backwards compatibility. If you guys will fix the fact that I can, you know, play my Gladius, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I should be able to pop any game in. Nintendo is famous for this. I have not had a game that I bought for my GameCube or hell. You know, some of the older games that they've put up, you all are calling it shovelware, but you're still buying it, you love it. I've not had one of them say, I'm sorry, you know, this one's not compatible with your Wii. I was popping in the old Animal Crossing and, you know, all the other stuff I had. I ended up selling it, but I didn't have to sell it if I wanted to continue to play it. But I cannot play my Gladius. And I am irritated about that I'm going to have to, I've waited patiently for years, I'm going to have to go and find me a ROM or emulator that I can finish. At the end, I tell you. At the end.
Wow.
The last level, the last battle, everything. I had planned it. I was going to sit down and play before my Xbox, actually, the old Xbox, Red Ring, and I can't play it on the new Xbox.
Wow. I would be hot. I'd be so mad.
I'm still hot. You see how many years later this is? I'm still mad. And that's not an easy game to play. It is a kind of a chess-like RTS thing, you know, you move your pieces, but then you still have the whole swing meter where you have to try to hit the people and make sure all your guys don't die. It's a gladiator school. I had all-girl gladiators. I had beefed these girls up. They were badass.
Very nice. All right. Before we go, I got to talk about some zombies.
When do we not talk about zombies?
All right. GamePolitics.com, Daily Mail, and BBC anti-game story based on fabricated quotes. Imagine that. A story by the UK's Daily Mail newspaper and the BBC that tapped an expert claiming that games turning children who feed them into the wee hours of the night into zombies has been... All right, people, I'm on here. Don't call. Playing into the wee hours of the night into zombies has been debunked. The expert cited in the story says that the quotes attributed to him were completely fabricated. He says, gaming is a phenomenon that's been around quite a while. Now we are starting to see the effects and behavior of young people. In the past, people had genuine relationships with empathy and compassion, which has been replaced by this virtual relationship where they are not necessarily having to show empathy or compassion. That's starting, perhaps, to change the way they interact on a day-to-day basis. Hart Fletcher says that he did not see things. He did not say those things to either publication. He says those quotes are completely fabricated. He says our stance is that gaming, being in constant contact with friends and playing with other gamers around the world, is good for most kids most of the time. Because that's the most contact they get because parents set them down in front of these things and they want to ignore them. While people can overuse games or smartphones, they can overuse anything. And that's no reflection on the value of the activity. I'm glad he came out and said, you know what, I did not say this. And you know what, it's the Daily Mail and BBC. Do we really even trust anything they have to say anymore? Come on.
You know, I'm gonna back away with my hands in the air on that one, mostly because we have to go. But
I think I may be ranting on this later, sure. But it's true. You know what, parents, not just parents, a lot of people use these as a babysitter. They use their TV, they use these game consoles, they use their phones, whatever's a babysitter.
Exactly.
If you're that concerned about your child not learning empathy, it's not because of the games they're playing. It's because you aren't interacting with them.
Amen. Preach, sister. Preach.
I'm going to preach. I'm all up on my soapbox today. I brought my soapbox.
That's about as tall as we are, is a soapbox.
That's
Ginger likes to pretend she's 5'3". She's not.
I am 5'2", barely. Barely. I got to stand up straight, real straight.
I'm going to see when I'm looking at you if you're 5'2". If you look at me in the eye, I'm going to say, you are a 5'2 lie. Because I'm 5'1". Anyway, time for us to get out of here, people. You'll see us again later on tonight during Pixinista. I have no idea what we're talking about. I had a bunch of topics written down, and I don't know where they are. I think Kittenatrix took them, and they're, you know, somewhere in the house, half eaten or something. So, but we will be here later on tonight talking about some good fashionable things. And, of course, you can find us here every morning, Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And we are out of this piece. See you guys later.
Out of here.
Dancing on the floor, I'm kind of nervous to approach her though. Or she's so stylish like a supermodel. Or should I meet her? Yes, I think you ought to. The needle dropped. My track was hot. We began to rock.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!